Blog Talk Radio.
I was born a black man from the motherland, speaking a language today most people don't understand, where no one could bother me, cause I had freedom, justice, and equality. But then one day it was taken away, and I was shipped to the USA. A young brother made into a slave, to harvest the Midlands and clean the chitlins, given a new name, new religion, no freedom to vote, not even to make a decision. I saw my people sold, raped, and took out the rest of that stuff that Alex Haley talks about. They said I'm not from Asia, I'm from Africa, and all the blacks there now are just scavengers. That's the way my mind was poisoned, to believe that in America blacks are inferior. A weak mind and a body of swine only adds up to being deaf, dumb, and blind. Illiterate to who, where, what, and why. So I ask myself, who am I? I was born a native New Yorker on the street, known for rocking rhymes to real rough beats that I found in the attic, noisy with static, the sound that made me a hip-hop fanatic. I made a few songs that sold okay, never top 20 or plenty airplay. I came out hardcore, flexing cock diesel, saw a little cash, and pop goes the weasel. I had to make that change and rearrange my whole rap format, no hardcore rap. So now all the pop charts I rule over new kids on the block and Paula Abdul. I thought I made it, then my song faded, and none of the black stations ever have played it. I tried to blame it on MTV and say damn, they co-played me for Young MC. But when you get down to it, I'm the real blame, because I wanted the fame. Money is not only the root of all evil, it's also the destruction of black people. So, conjunction, junction, what's your function? Being a scout or selling out? Look in the mirror at yourself eye to eye and say, who am I?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Garfield A. Reed from It's Real Talk Live Radio, Block Talk Radio. And you know how we get down daily, Monday to Fridays, you know, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Sometimes we go into overtime to 8 p.m. And, you know, I was watching a video today. I have to start the show off with this. And it was the brothers from Out of the Cage. I don't remember exactly what their names are, and Lions Out of the Cage, and a brother. On Facebook, and watch YouTubes and all that stuff. I just don't watch those things at all, you know. And I just felt like it was something important that I had to watch because I had listened to the brothers earlier in the week, you know, with Malik. Cage what's his name, Minister Eric Muhammad from Muslim of 15 in Atlanta. I would definitely ask folks to check it out, you know. Moving on. Let me see what's going on here. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, yeah, let's move on from there. I was actually trying to read up on something real carefully before I bring it to the air, but I'm gonna leave certain things alone, and just get into the program of leadership and what we're trying to do. You know, what we should do as a people, and what type of opportunities are out there for us as far as uniting as a people. And sticking together. So basically, I want to get this out in the alpha before I take any calls or anything, that, you know, people should always try to unite, no matter what your belief system is, because I don't care what your belief system is. And I've never gone to a woman that I've tried to talk to and say, what's your belief is? And then I don't talk to her. I get to know the person first. So we should give each person out there the same opportunity as far as knowing someone or what someone else is doing. Because if not, then you're going to make a judgment based off, hey, he's a Muslim, he's a Jew, he's a Christian, he's agnostic, whatever. And then you move from there. And that's not a way how to deal with people on a different level, you know. And we need to look on things on a bigger level nowadays, man. Right now, we're looking at things at a very small level, and that's what's holding us back as a people, man, as a global people. There's so much to invest in as far as economic development and so forth. So this is something that we have to think about as a people whenever we are trying to unite, you know. What opportunities are we looking for? Are we looking for economic growth through investments? What are we looking for? Those are the things that we have to think about whenever we're trying to unite with folks, all right? Not bashing people. And by the way, we can be disagreeable when it comes to our religious belief, but that don't mean we have to be disagreeable as far as uniting with one another, because that's the main purpose. You know, I always tell folks, man, we can unite. It doesn't matter what you believe or what organization you're part of. As long as it's for the liberation and salvation of the black nation, there's no other thing to unite under than that. That don't have no religion, nothing in it. We'll pinpoint everything that we need to when we start meeting with each other. But at the outset, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, we are the most affected nation in all of the world. We're looked on as guinea pigs for every little test, whether it's the syphilis or all type of experiments that they do with all type of diseases. They use us. I mean, it's time we start uniting no matter what label that we each other wear. We need to unite, period. There's not one person out there that I would not unite with who would support, who is black, who would support coming together as a people. There's nobody out there, ladies and gentlemen, that I would turn away and say, hey, I'm not messing with that brother, or so forth. Nah, there's not one person. All right. Moving on. Let's talk a little news here. We had a brother that hit me up on Facebook talking about, what's his name, Donald Sterling, and the fact that he was at a church, and, you know, I mean, whatever reason he went to the church, I can't knock the guy for going to the church, man. I don't know if it's a money thing, I don't know what type of deal, but
we can't do anything at all, man, about, you know, people doing all of that stuff. You know, we can never predict the future as far as what folks do and what they, who knows, maybe he's a better person now. You know, it's pretty funny. I don't know if I feel comfortable, but, you know, if we believe in repentance, I don't see what's the problem with him. You know, with him doing whatever he's doing as far as the church is concerned. If he's going there for repentance or to be a better person or whatever, you know, it's just totally up to that church on what they plan to do. I personally do have a problem with him going to the church. You know, and if you're a Christian, I would say he needs church. All right. Another thing that folks are talking about is, let me see here. There's a brother by the name of Antoine Walker, who used to be in the NBA years ago. He's a former NBA player who burst into the scene through University of Kentucky in the 1990s. He was chosen as a 6th overall pick by the Boston Celtics. He made all rookie team and all that stuff. He was traded to the Dallas Mavericks, but later returned to the Celtics for a brief time before trading to the Miami Heat. He last played in the NBA, I think, 2008. Now, all of a sudden, this guy is broke. He's made up $100 million. You know, one of the things I say, all these players are going to NBA, and, you know, a lot of them come out of the community, and they feel like they owe the community a lot. And I think every one of them needs to meet with a financial advisor before anything. I was talking to a sister today, and she had asked me about some business because, ladies and gentlemen, I'm into the credit repair and credit boosting business. And what we noticed is that there are some rappers right now, current recording artists, who needs their credit and all that stuff to be looked after. And she's taking care of the credit side. I'm taking care of the boosting and the funding side. But the bottom line is, how is it that these rappers or entertainers can't manage money? They spend money like it's water. You know, right now one of the guys are trying to get financing for whatever. But the bottom line is, we need people to supervise how these guys are spending money and teach them about investing and all that stuff. So last week during the Wednesday show, I said that one of the brother who had passed, old brother Omar, and I said in his honor, we should start thinking about submitting a prospectus or a course for children in high school between the 9th and the 12th grade to learn about credit. We need to have a credit curriculum put together where these young men, before they leave, they will all learn, young men and women, will all learn about what credit is and how it is to use credit and how to invest. They need to learn these type of things before leaving high school. Even if they're going to be an NBA player or whatever, at least they had this class and say, hey, if you need advice, you need to turn to X, Y, and Z. Because I notice a lot of people blow a lot of money in this world, and it was not investments. It was a basic living stuff that they do on a daily basis. And I think they didn't have the right people around them. This is why someone with $100 million could blow $100 million. You know, and people ask, why? How is he gonna blow $100 million? Basically by going out there and acting like he's Mr. Big Willie, like he's the owner of the basketball team. But you got to have that money coming in all the time, brothers and sisters. And he, you know, $100 million is a lot of money. I mean, half of that probably went to taxes. And then the rest, I don't know what he did with it. But, hey, what can I say, brother? In the meantime, I'm going to play a little Who is this we have? We have Trey Songz and Drake Successful. I'll be right back after this, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, Trey, I fucking feel ya. They be staring at the money like it's unfamiliar. I get it, I live it, to me there's nothing realer. Just enough of all your problems, too much to kill ya. And when I leave, I always come right back here. The young spitter that everybody in rap fear. A lot of y'all are still sounding like last year. The game need changing, I'm the motherfucking cashier. Nickels for my thoughts, dimes in my bed. Quarters up the cush, shake the lines in my head. Take my verses too serious, you hate me. Cause I'm the one to paint a vivid picture, no HD. Yeah, I want it all, that's why I strive for it. Diss me, you'll never hear a reply for it. Any award show or party, I get fly for it. I know that it's coming, I just hope that I'm alive for it.
I want the money, money in the cars, cars in the clothes. I suppose, I just wanna be, I just wanna be successful. I just wanna be successful.
Yeah, I want things to go my way. But as of late, a lot of shit been going sideways. And my mother tried to run away from home, but I left something in the car, and so I caught her in the driveway. And she cried to me, so I cried too. And my stomach was soaking wet, she only 5'2". And 48 hours all before I showed up and brought $1,000 worth of drinks and got pulled up. Damn, my reality just set in. And even when the phantoms least, the most wanna get in. I do a lot of things hoping I never had to fit in. So trying to keep up with my progress is like a dead end. My girl love me, but f***ing my heart beats slow. And right now the tour bus is looking like a freak show. And life changed for us every single week, so it's good. But I know this ain't the peak though, cause
I want the money. Money in the cars, cars in the clothes.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back live on the air, and you know, I just want to say to all the folks that are listening out there, we have a lot of people in queue, a lot of people ready to get on the air. I have a couple of guests coming in, and I have to announce that next week, Tuesday, Mr. Booker T. Coleman, who from Hidden Colors and all these books and all stuff that he has done on YouTube and information out there, brother is going to come on next week, Tuesday, between 6:30 and 7:30. He's going to, put a presentation as far as schooling, homeschooling, and, you know, a couple other information, and we're going to be able to ask him questions. And so, you know, I just want to say, just to alert everybody from now, I'm going to be promoting for next week, Tuesday. I mean, we're on every day, Monday to Friday, but I just want to put it out there that the brother is going to be on next week, Tuesday. That's going to be a powerful, what I mean, a real powerful show to see that brother live on the air here presenting, you know, some information, because my brother Charles is actually trying to put a homeschooling curriculum together, and brother Booker T. Coleman already have that in place. So we're trying to use some of the information that the brother already has to get whatever Charles is trying to do up and running, which is one of the most important things for us, is controlling our education and what is being brought to our children. So I think what Charles is trying to do, he's trying to do an online homeschooling where folks could just log in online with their children and go through the courses themselves instead of they trying to actually teach your children if they don't know the stuff. So either way, it's going to be some sort of Afrocentric type of program as far as geared to us as Afrocentric people. So I think that's a good idea that my brother Charles is trying to put together. We also have we're looking for 200 people who is I think Charles is trying to do 1,000 each. They're trying to get people into real estate investing, and you know they're looking for 200 people to see how much people they can get. And I think over 50 people have already responded through email already online through Facebook. So, you know, it's out there for you, ladies and gentlemen. People are trying to do different programs. And, of course, you have Sister Azalea from Green Soul who is actually doing her product. She's going to be putting out some products before in the next couple of months. And she's trying to build a Green Soul Village in Oakland, California, where folks could just go there like for 2 weeks or like what Dr. Sabi does, you know, where people go to Honduras and see Dr. Sabi, spend a week out there. She's trying to get everybody into Green Soul. I mean, for the month of June, we're actually doing the green smoothies and different green. We're doing everything green. A bunch of us from the radio program, you're talking about Ivory, you're talking about Mitch, myself, Sister Zayla, of course, and a couple more people. We're taking June to just go green. You know, it's healthier. I haven't feel this energetic in a long time, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm up 14 to 16 hours a day, just running around doing stuff. And the only break I normally get is when I do the show, where I'm actually sitting still. But you know, there's different things that this program is bringing to the table. I want everybody to be plainly. I want to make it plain and make everybody understand what we're trying to do with this radio program at It's Real Talk Live. Basically what we're doing, we have 5 days, Monday to Friday. Mondays is for health. You have Sister Azalea, and yesterday was a wonderful program. She had a sister named Grandma Renee Abdullah that was on, somebody who survived cancer, and she was on yesterday. On Tuesdays, we have Building a Brotherhood. This is normally geared for folks who have children who are between 12 and 18 who need mentoring, and people who are 18 to 30 who are unemployed. And we tell people how to create their jobs, and we're going to create a network where we're building. I have an ebook coming out on June 30th, actually on my birthday, which is going to have a listing of 100 jobs and different opportunities for men between 18 and 30, because that's one of the biggest areas where unemployment has hit the black community the most. So I'm going to put forward a plan. You could either invest in a business, you could either get a small business loan, or you could go out there and work for a company. And I'm going to put all those facets or everything in one. It's going to be a list of 100. It's going to be an ebook form. It's going to be free for everybody. Nobody's paying for anything. This is just information I'm putting out to try to help folks, because once I put it out, folks are going to just put it out there for everybody. I don't have to promote it or anything, because it's good for black folks who are unemployed to have that type of information. And, of course, Wednesdays, we have financial Wednesdays, where we deal with financial stuff with Mario Robinson from Robinson Financial out of Atlanta, Georgia. He comes on, and we have a bunch of folks from Wall Street. We have brothers who used to work on Wall Street. Last week we had a brother on from Brother Moore. He came on, taught us about real estate and how to invest in certain properties and what to look for, which website to go on, and the cheapest places to invest and how to make the most money in your returns, the quickest time, the longest time. He went through all of that last week, Wednesday. So, of course, that was on Wednesday. That's what we do. On Thursdays, we have Theology Thursdays, where we talk about, you know, talk about theology, get it out, everybody get out what they have a problem with each theology or whatever. But at the end of the day, the bottom line to Theology Thursday is that we all can unite no matter what we each other believe in. On Fridays, we talk about relationships, people out there, we get into relationships, we talk about how, you know, what's wrong with our relationships in the black community as far as helping each other out and getting a better understanding of what we're doing. All right? So, again, Mondays we have Your Health and You with Sister Azalea. Tuesdays we have Building a Brotherhood. Wednesdays we have basically the financial show. We talk about investing, credit repair, boosting your credit score, and funding. Thursdays we have Theology Thursdays. And Fridays we talk about relationships. Sometimes we have some musical guests and so forth. All right? So that's pretty much what we're doing here. All right. So the next thing I want to talk about, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to spend 5 minutes in talking about what we're going to do as far as mentoring. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a child who does not have a father figure, and if he does have a father figure, I would urge you to sign up for the mentoring program, whether it's through the Big Brother and Big Sister or through Tony Dungy's mentoring program. The importance of this is if you are not available, I know parents right now who have to work and go to school, and they're not available for their son or their daughter at home at nighttime. Sometimes they even leave their child alone at home. And let me tell you something, man. These children are growing up without a father figure, without somebody in their lives, meeting with them, talking to them, teaching them how to grow up. What happens is they grow up, and then they have the children who they hang out with as their influence instead of having proper parenting. So I'm urging everyone out there that's listening, get into mentorship. Get into that. It's very important that every child has the opportunity to have some sort of male figure or some sort of role model in their lives. I am signing up to be a mentor. So it's nothing new, it's nothing strange or whatever, but I'm urging everybody who is over 30, if you do have two Saturdays per month, that you could sign up and do what you need to do, handle your business, and take care of that. All right? So, ladies and gentlemen out there, listen. If it comes to the point where if you're not able to have that person in that child's life, I urge you to go out there and and sign up for mentorship. You have to. And it's very important. These young men are growing up without role models. Look at what's going on in Chicago right now. Once I take another break, I'm going to get into Chicago and a few solutions that I believe will help Chicago 100% right now. And I believe it's sad that they're killing each other. But at the end of the day, we have to have solutions, and that's what this is all about, having solutions. All right, let me take a quick break, and let me see what I'm going to play here. I'm going to Isley Brothers, Living for the Love of You. All right, let's play some music to wake up the people here. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to take a quick 5-minute break, 3-minute, 4-minute break, and we'll be right back.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here. You can take a break. I'm a hot air balloon that could go to space. With the air, like I don't care, baby, by the way. Clap along if you feel like a room without.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we back on blogtalkradio.com. It's Real Talk Live. This is your host, Garfield A. Reed, and I got my brother Mitch tuning in. Hey, Mitch, how are you, my brother?
Yeah, I'm doing fine. Yourself? How you doing?
I'm doing great today, man. I am happy as ever today. I am so happy, man. Hey, let me ask you this, man. Since we today is building a brotherhood, man, let me ask you this. What type of business are you trying to get into right now? Because I know you're trying to get into some stuff, but what type of business are you trying to get into, and why would you get into that?
Right now, I'm currently not working on nothing. Right now I'm currently not. I'm trying to really work on retiring from this job. And that's basically where I'm focusing all my efforts. So, yeah, but if I wasn't, I'd be out in Colorado and trying to make something happen out there, you know, either opening a store or buying a warehouse or something. Yeah.
Okay, and that's the whole marijuana investment stuff, right?
Yeah. I just talked to Keenan, and he's out there working in a store now, and he told me, he just was sitting talking to me, and he was like, you know what would be a good place, business to open, is just open a building where you can serve coffee, tea, and whatever, and allow smokers to come in there and smoke, like how they do in the airport, but, you know, fix it up and all that. And I was like, and that's all they do, just come in there, smoke, have the internet hooked up. And he said, because there's a lot of tourists come through, and he said they got, the city has nowhere for them to go smoke. They can't smoke in the hotels that they don't check into. So a lot of people, he said, it's nothing to walk downtown, and it's no clean oxygen because it's so filled up with marijuana. Yeah, he said that's all they do is just stay outside. And I was just thinking, like, man, just, you know, the opportunities are there on that front. It's like to jump on and do that. So, and he went and got a job in the store, I guess, to learn the business, to learn how it's really run. And the store he works in, believe it or not, is owned and ran by an insurance company. Owned and ran by an insurance company. Yep.
Wow.
So everybody's getting in on it, but I guess you just got to have big money when you're coming in.
Wow.
Yeah, so
you
that
know,
was just,
it's,
you know, huh?
Right. You know, it's funny. Someone had asked me about that the other day because we had talked about it on the show that, you know, why should we allow other cultures to come in and make money off investing in marijuana, and we're the ones, we're using it, And we have folks who's selling it. So why are we not, you know?
I know, but really.
Charles said, what Mitch talking about? The Bible doesn't allow for selling dope.
Well,
Charles
messing
with you, man. Charles messing with you.
Oh, he messing with me. I was just going to say, it's the same thing with dandelions. Until Sister Azalea, I'm out here putting weed and seed trying to kill this crap in my yard. Turns out that's the most healthy thing in my yard. I mean, especially here in Georgia, dandelion grows like, you know, sand. And I'm trying to kill a crap, and it turns out it was good for me. So now I went to the farmer's market. They got dandelions inside there selling it. So it's like, yeah, well, God made that. And if you profit off it, is that a sin? No. Because he made it. It grows. You know, so it's just that we have learned other properties in it to have it do what it do, you know. But nevertheless, as far as business-wise, that's where I'm at. But I'm just trying to clean up a couple of facets in my life, and then I'm going to get on board, man. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's good. All right, what about Charles? He's trying to get the whole online schooling this thing going. We actually have, I don't know if you're familiar with Booker T. Coleman. Charles, Pulse is current, the name that he's known as. So I don't disrespect what the brother is trying to do. There's a brother by the name. You ever watch Booker, Hidden Colors, by the way, Mitch?
Yeah, I have it.
The brother from Hidden Colors, Booker T. Coleman, he's actually going to come on next week, Tuesday, between 6:30 and 7:30. His name is Brother Kabakameen. Brother Kabakameen,
okay.
Also known as Booker T. Coleman, will be on to talk about, he's going to be talking about homeschooling and different things, you know, and he's going to take a few comments here and there, and, you know, we'll take it from there, you know, but he should be on, and it should be a good show. We're going to talk about homeschooling and how to get it started, and he's already an expert on that, so I'm all for homeschooling, man. I'm all for homeschooling as long as the program, the curriculum is Afrocentric. I'm all for that, right? All for that.
Yeah. I think we as black people really need to get off in the homeschooling, because the schooling system that they have for our kids. So I don't know how they do it, though. You know what I mean? How is it that a curriculum for Georgia is one thing, but then when you go to, like, Albany State, it's something totally different. You know? How do you get a degree in criminal justice, two different schools, same degree, but you'll get hired quicker because you went to Georgia versus if you went to HBC school? It's crazy, man. But, you know, it's the society we live in, you know. So something about them that they never forgot about us that we haven't really took full advantage of, and that's knowing our wealth, knowing how smart we are, knowing the ingeniousness in us, because it's something about them that they know about us that we don't even know about ourselves. Well, I ain't gonna say we're only talking about 50% of blacks that don't even realize today, but a lot of us know and don't even know how to do nothing about it. But it's something about those people, man, that they taught to their generation, the next generation, that these people are ones that you never want to give a foot up, make them equal with you, because they'll come and dominate. You know what I mean? It's something to that for them to just keep this mess going on for centuries and centuries, man. What do you think it is, Garfield?
I don't know. You know, when I went to school, right? In Jamaica, for some reason, my educational system there in Jamaica is so difficult. Let me tell you something, Mitch. If anybody who's from America go to Jamaica, they would fail every class. It is so difficult. for high school in Jamaica. I told people this all the time. I didn't learn anything in college until I reached, like, a master's program. It's like I knew everything in college already. And that's based off of my high school knowledge. It is so difficult.
Is it because of the French or the British learning material?
The British actually judges us. They're the ones that judge us. Basically, they give us a school system. But when we're in high school, we got to take a test called CXC or GCE. And what happened is we are graded by England. That's why when people say Jamaica is independent, we ain't independent. We got to take tests that England gives to us. That's not independence. That means you still depend on them to judge you. So that test, I'm telling you, some of those tests are some of the hardest tests to pass, and I don't know how all these kids in Jamaica grew up. I don't know how they go through all of this. And when I come here, I'm like, the school system here is easy. I walked through college, man. It was easy for me. I didn't learn anything unless it was something particular. Like, I was never a great writer, so I did actually learn how to write compositions and stuff here in North America. I got to give America credit. As a matter of fact, a white man, Professor Califano, he taught me how to really write my thoughts properly. He said, you have a great mind, but you need to learn how to put your thoughts together properly. So at the end of the day, that's all. Nothing, pretty much nothing else. You talk about accounting. Mm. You talk about principle of business. I mean, the school system was so hard. I'm like, I have pity for the people. I'm like, why are we learning all this stuff? And here in America, some of these folks can't even read.
Right.
Some of these folks in these high school, they're functional illiterates. It's a shame.
Yeah.
You know, and
that ain't just started neither. That's been for a long time, for a couple of decades. Yeah.
You remember the guy from Lean On Me, Morgan Freeman played his role about East Side High?
The movie
Lean On Me, that's like my favorite movie. You know, one of my top five movies. And, you know, I thought about that. And I'm like, all them kids, man. And everybody, they talk about Joe Clark being a Republican and all this foolishness. The dude was right. It ain't about him being a Republican or a Democrat. Fight for the children, man. Fight for the children. You know, my mom was a teacher at the time up here, because she was a teacher in Jamaica. So, you know, me, I couldn't be an idiot with my mom in the house.
Right.
It's a wrap. It's a wrap.
Yeah.
You know, but, I mean, she was a teacher there, and she became a teacher here. And she said to me one day, you know, I'm here in this country, and I'm stressing that the kids got to be learn how to spell properly. And the teacher going to nudge her and tell her, oh, you don't have to worry about spelling. And I noticed almost every kid that I know that grew up here in America, they spell some of the easiest words wrong.
Right.
And I'm like, it's a damn school system. It's a school system.
Yeah.
Because they're taught, hey, don't worry about spelling. Don't worry about spelling. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, man. Good God. Mm. Now, hearing you say that, now I realize, it come to fruition what Minister Farrakhan was speaking of when he went to college. He said he breezed through it the same way. Because he was so advanced. He knew like three languages or four languages by the time he even got to college. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's just...
Yeah, he got a track scholarship to a... Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, that's why a lot of people, being that I'm a serviceman and I done been to about 14, 15 countries, a lot of people are like, if you had money, where would you go? Ain't no place better than America. And I'm thinking to myself, it's many places you can go that will beat America thus far, except you just ain't going to get the quality, if that's even a word to even put with this, the quality of living. But, I mean, if you really just trying to be one with nature, you don't really need all this stuff anyway. You know, I'm sitting here, for what I do, I need this stuff, but I'm sitting here in my garage and people coming in, they'd be amazed, like, man, what do? You build, you work on cars. And I'm like, do we really need all this stuff? Do I need three cars, motorcycle? Do I really need it? But in here in America, yeah. But in another country, it's just another, you know what it is? Stress. That's what it is, mm-hmm. another stress level, because they put principles on things that is just so immoral, goes against the Father, and we sit and we just form our whole life around foolishness, man. So now our kids come up the same way, don't want to work for nothing, but want everything easy. And you don't mind doing and giving your children, but it done got to a point. And if you raise your voice at them, they tell them, well, call us. And calling you going to do what? You going to take them out of my home? You going to put them in your system? And what would that do? You know, so now you got these kids, I call 911. Really? And it's like the enemy have infiltrated us everywhere, every form or every opening they could, man. Yeah. And now you, it's nothing wrong with it. I'm not saying nothing wrong with the way you love women. But for me, the reason our kids are the way I blame our women, man. Yeah. Now, for you, it's totally different. You may not think so. And the reason I say this, because even if you got a deadbeat, sorry man, you came from something. You know what I mean? I mean, how we get from the 60s to the day and our children are like they are. In the 60s, it was men that was getting up, having babies, leaving. But you know what the mothers did? They stuck to the roots. They taught them boys how to cook and clean and get out and work the yard or work the field. How did we get to today? I'm not limiting us as men not performing the true role of sticking and doing we supposed to. That's not my point. See, this demise we're under been orchestrated way before our thinking, right? We just trying to get a piece of the pie. That's what, you know, we trying to be like the white man. But their demise was to separate them. We break this family up, we got them. They did that. So that's why I say the women, they couldn't see it, but yet and still, why would you have your young men today being your husband? You treating him like he your man. Why are you not making him be a man? Why are you treating him as your equal? Just all kind of psychological BS we got going on today. And our kids are dying every day, getting locked up. And that's why I say the legal system is just from the pit of hell. Because you get a separation, divorce, or whatever, the woman get full custody. See, this is back to that demise that we couldn't see because we're trying to get the piece of the pie. I go with the women. Why? Because they know women that move on emotions. So now our children, we're going to deal with a man emotionally. Guess what? They're going to make him a weak man. He ain't going to want to stand up.
All right, let me take a quick break. I got my brother on hold. Victor, I want to ask you guys a personal question real quickly when I get back.
Go ahead.
What you came for? Don't you wish you came more? Girl, what you playing for? Come on, let me kiss that. Ooh, I know you miss that. What's wrong? Let me fix that. Twist that. Baby, tonight's the night I let you know. Baby, tonight's the night we lose control. I
text me. Knowing me and you got that mental telepathy, meet me up at the spot, I'll be sending over the chauffeur. Rich nigga, bread stay popping up like a toaster. Nobody come close to me and you together. Step under my umbrella, we'll make it through any weather. Except when I make it storm, sex in the greatest form, then hibernate under my body. And yep, I keep you warm, but in a chinchilla. She know I beat it up like the Thriller in Manila. Flying my private jet to villas in Anguilla. Then throw you on the grill, that's cause 7 days a week, you're my five-course meal for real.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we're back, and let me get my brothers in here, Mitch and Victor here. Let me ask you guys a personal question, man. If you had a child, right? You guys hear me?
Yeah, I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
All right, if you had a child, and the child was 18, right, and you were paying child support, and the child is working full-time, and he's in school, should you stop the child support payments because the child is working full-time?
Where does the
child
stay?
Who wants to respond first?
What do you say, Victor?
Who you want to respond first to that?
Let me let Mitch go first. He lives with his mom. He lives with his mom, and he's working full time. And should the father still pay child support?
No. And the reason I say no, because he's working full time. And it don't matter if he's in school or out of school, because he has to learn some type of responsibility. So some of his money should be going towards some bill in the house, just to let him know that this is what you do as a young adult. If he's not in college, stop the child support. If he's in college, go ahead. You can keep the child support going. Yeah, but why not just send him the child support? You know, I think that would be better because of all the things that you need in college.
Why should the person pay a child support if he's working full time?
Even if he's in college, working full time, why should you pay? I guess on that note, is to help out with his books and everything because he works. You know what? It's about having an agreement with the mother. Okay, he's in college. He's working full time. Make him pay you $150.
What if he's not in school though, and he's working full time?
Then no, I don't think you should pay child support. He's 18.
So you're saying that if he's in school, he should still pay it, but if he's not in school, he shouldn't pay it.
Right. Yeah.
All right.
Only because of the cost of schooling, that's it.
Okay. All right, let me go to Victor. Go ahead, Victor. This is going to take like 2 hours, but go ahead, bro.
Oh, wow. See what I'm saying? See what I'm saying? Nah. Emphatically, hell no. Hell no, and I'm going to say that emphatically again, hell no, because again, the child is working, and he's basically, when a child becomes a man, you know, he learns how to do work and get his own money and all that type of stuff, okay, well, he's getting money now. You know, there's no need in daddy, you know, just shoving out money to mama for no reason. You know, there's too many women out there trying to get money off of, you know, baby daddies just because, you know, they got a grudge or whatever it is, man. I'm going through that situation right now myself. I just got hit up on Facebook talking about, can you pay for my son's braces? I'm like, Trick, take it out of child support I've been sending you. Like, I'm not going to pay for that. That's not my issue. He's not with me, you know. I could put him on my insurance and all that type of stuff, you know, and it wouldn't have a problem with it. But the fact of the matter is I haven't seen my son but once in the past 9 years because of her. So, you know, I'm not going for that. So, emphatically, I'm going to say again, hell no. No, and these women need to stop playing them games like that, too, out there, you know, over there using these kids for money bags and stuff like that, man. Y'all wrong for that, man. But anyway, y'all can go ahead.
All right. So basically, I mean, let me read what Charles said. Charles said the support for living expenses, he needs a roof, food, and clothing until he becomes 18 and or is out of school. Then he said that's what support is for. Once he becomes an adult, he's responsible for himself. That's my thinking also, you know, is that he's 18, if he's in school or out, should it matter to the father that he's he should pay up until he's 21 because he's his son, or should he not pay at all? To me personally, I don't think a father should pay child support after 18, whether he's in school or not. I just think once you're 18, you're a man, and that it's a wrap. That's just how I feel personally. I might be wrong, but I mean, even if you look at it that way, he's in school and he's working full time. What is the purpose of him working full time? And Charles is asking, what would I do if he was under my roof? If he was under my roof, if I would be taking care of him, he'd be under my roof. So, of course, the basic stuff is here, and he would have to help with the bills. I would teach him how to be a man. So at the end of the day, I'm not going to have him living in a house and not helping out with no bills. He got to pay all types of bills. Shoot. Cable, every damn thing. Cell phone,
you know what
cable,
happened?
Everything.
Yeah, it pays to stay with me.
I was going to ask you, Vic, if I was going to stay with you on weekend.
Goes,
now that you say that, I ain't going to ask you, B. It's a wrap. I'm not asking.
Yeah.
No, man.
Well.
You're not, that's different, Garfield. That's a whole different scenario, man. But we're talking about, you know, these grown kids. You know, I got my wife can tell you about some stories, man. You know what I'm saying? She got some siblings, man. You know what I'm saying? And I ain't going to say who. You know, like family members that stay under a certain person's roof, you know, and they all grown. Every one of them kids is grown. They all expect daddy to take care of them, too. Every single one of them. I'm like, they're 20. Every one of them over 20. I said, man, I was like, you ain't got. To me, I was like, I don't know. I ain't never seen a Negro like that. Nobody black have I ever met like that. You know what I'm saying? And the way they treat them and talk to them and stuff like that, never seen nobody black like that, man. You know, they would have been kicked out by the time they were 17. Forget 18. I would have kicked them out by the time they were 17. Let the police deal with me. I can't go for that, man. You know, it's just, you know, the thing is, man, you know, kids are a product, though. I gotta say this, too. It's a product of how you raise them. You know, whatever you put into them, you know, is what you're going to get out. You know, so if you raise the kids bad, you know, of course they're going to grow up with these poor values and stuff like that. But, you know, in a lot of cases, I feel like I was saying, you got a lot of these women out there just trying to delete off the man. And I feel like this. If a father can't see his son or daughter or whatever, there's no reason for him to be paying child support, period. There's no reason at all. You know, if you're denying the father visitation and all that type of stuff, you know, and you go into other states and stuff like that to keep the child away from the father, there's no reason he need to be paying child support. For what?
Mm-hmm.
For what? I mean, I'm paying for a child that I don't even know, you know, like exists in some cases, you know, like I haven't even, you know, I don't get contact whenever something go down with him or something like that. So it's kind of really, it's hypocritical, this system is to me, I think.
Yeah, I mean, there's some good men out there, man, that do what they have to do. But you have some real crooked women out there that just in it just for child support, just to get back at you. And you know, one of the weirdest things is that my daughter, I'm going to tell you guys a personal story, man, about my daughter, man. As much as you hear me talk about my daughter, when my daughter was born, the woman I had the child for me. As had my daughter for me, I should say, who carried my daughter for 9 months, claimed after a year of me being in the child's life and everything, that the child was mine. And because I never liked this woman, period, like that, I was quick to say, okay, I'm not the father, fine. I mean, you mean like the woman lives in a building, Victor and Mitch, hear this. And I would have to go and pick up my daughter in that same building. The person live across the hallway. I had to pick her up to bring her to the next, to across the hallway. That's how stupid it was. And I would go there, pay for the babysitter every week.
Wow.
And being in the child's life. And then she came to me and said, oh, the child's not yours. It's what's his name, baby, and da-da-da-da. And because, you know, I subconsciously, man, I did not want to be this child's father. I did not. And I didn't even care to say I'm gonna take a DNA. I believe you. And I was out. So when I found out that I had that they were gonna do a surgery on me for thyroid cancer, I said, you know what? It would be a shame that, you know what I'm saying, something happened to me. I didn't know this girl was my daughter. So I searched the whole world for this girl. Searched for her. Until we finally got in contact or whatever, and I did a DNA test. When I did a DNA test, you know, it came back and said it was my child or whatever. And, you know, a lot of people said to me, say, you know, you should have took the test earlier or whatever. Yeah, we can play catch 22, but if the mother is telling you straight up, more than likely the mother knows who the father is. The mothers normally know. And she was just basically doing that to get back at me. You know what I'm saying? Because the fact that, you know, maybe she had more feelings for me than I had for her or whatever. You know, women play these games. And the thing is, I've been in this girl's life from 2009, right? I was in her life from the beginning, but I was not there from when she was, practically 2 years old to like around six. So now she's about to be 10. She's about to be 10 this 2009 to 2004, that's 5 years. So I've known her from, I've been in her life from she was five. So I'm practically missed like 3 years. All right. So now I'm in this girl's life from 2009 until now, right? 5 years. She's about to be 10 in July. This mother, although I wasn't in her life or whatever, she has never, ever taken me to child support. She has never, as much as I don't even like this girl, she did her thing. She got a job. She worked for the, She actually ended up having two more children. She have twins. And she actually took the twins' father to child support. And she never took me to child support. I don't know why. I still can't figure out why, you know. And once I came in the girl's life, though, I mean, I did what I had to do. You know, we had this type of relationship where I said, whatever she needs. Like for this year, I told her, I don't want her to buy nothing for my daughter. I'm buying every single thing. If she need her toenail cut, I'm buying it. If she need a socks, I'm buying it. I told her every single thing this year. I mean, she's going through a lot of health stuff because she had to get her uterus took out the other day or whatever. But I told her, I said, you know what? I'm going to do it this year. Don't worry about it. You know, because all them years I was in her life, she could have took me to child support or whatever if she really wanted to. Or say, hey, I want back payments or whatever. But she never once did. And she never once threatened me. You know, a woman like to say, I'm going to take it. She never once did or anything. So everything she asked me for, in a sense of me, of my subconscious, I feel guilty. I'm like, you know what, whatever that child wants, if I can't do it, I'm going to tell you I can't do it. But if I can, I definitely will. You know, so because she doesn't ask me for money on a weekly basis. It's just basically she lives with me. I got this. But if she needs anything, I got to do it. Her camp needs to be paid for. I'm going to pay for it. That's the type of relationship we have. She needs clothes. As a matter of fact, I know she's going to need summer clothes. So I'm going to go. As a matter of fact, this Saturday, I'm going to go buy her summer clothes this week. I'm not even going to wait for her to ask me. I'm just going to go out and get it. Because I know she's going to text me, oh, she needs summer clothes. You know, but that's the type of relationship I have with her. And although I did wrong by not actually moving forward to take a test when she was younger or whatever, I came back in her life and she appreciated it. because she could have did all the grimy stuff that women do. As much as I don't like her, I think she's one of the worst people in the world. But as an individual, we're actually born on the same day. We have the same birthday. So she felt like we were soulmates and all this craziness. And Victor will get into that. I don't know if two cancers can born on the same day work, but it definitely can't work with me and her. You know,
two
but
crabs together.
Exactly. That's self-explanatory. But I don't know. I appreciate the fact that she never attempted the child support. Now, that didn't make a difference to me anyway. But I believe that, you know, I don't think she's the greatest person to live with, but she is a good person. But I don't think she's the greatest person for a child to live with. I just don't think so. You know, so right now I'm putting everything in motion because she's so sick lately, man. She has fibroid issues. They cut her uterus out. I mean, I'm trying to set up right now by September. My daughter, actually at 10 years old, is probably going to come and live with me, which is going to be a big, major change in my life. I don't mind her coming here Friday to Sunday and taking her to school Monday morning, but living with me is, wow, that's going to be a serious change. You know, raising a daughter, whoo! Damn, I got gray hair already. I think I'm
a lot of gray hair coming in your head.
Thanks, Victor. Mitch, what do you think about all of this I'm saying, man?
I think it was great that God allowed that door to stay open with such peace there. You was fortunate, thank God, every day for it. And I did it. I jumped on board. All they did is said, my first marriage was, I'm pregnant. I married her. Didn't love her. Because that's the way I was brought up. You marry, get a family, and keep it moving. 8 years later, the baby wasn't mine, and she was a girl. So I gave her back. At that point, we had them broke up. And when we broke up, she was 3 and a half, and my son was 8 months. So I got custody of the kids. And when she turned 8, that's when I did a DNA test, and it turned out she wasn't mine, and I was so devastated because there were 3 kids involved when we first separated, 2. Anyway, that was because of my own foolishness going back, but nevertheless. So it's just, hey, man, it's something about these kids that no matter what we're going through, they have to be taught so serious, even if we only get 5 minutes with them, because my 22, 23-year-old, whatever he is now, he came to be with me after I came home from the war. Well, he was with me for, 11 months, then to graduate 2012. December 2011, I come home, his whole room cleaned up. I didn't call nobody. Didn't think about it, just let it go. Because I knew his mom had came and got him. I just knew it in my spirit. So 11 months later, he called me. He in Myrtle Beach. His mom left him. He's staying with his uncle. He didn't finish school. Didn't have a driving license. So I sent the money, brought him back here. And I asked him on the phone before he came. I said, so what you going to do when you get here? I'll probably get a job. And I asked him, I said, and where you going to live? I said, you got 2 choices. You either go to college or the military. I said, I got money for you to go to any 4-year school you want to. But you won't get a job and live with me. Because I'm a firm believer, it says something about you as the parent. When your child, you don't raise, grows up and he get a job working like you working. Ain't seen life, ain't experienced nothing, and he working like you working. Something's wrong with that picture. That's just Mitch and my theory. So I stuck it out with him for 11 months. No job, no nothing. Had to give him gas. I gave him one of my trucks. And he went to church 3 times a week. And he had to be in the house at 12. At this point, he was, what, 19, going on 20. Yeah, I didn't play no games with him. Made him clean, made him cook for me. Every day I got home, it was a full-course meal. Cut the grass, clean the house. That's what I made him do. I didn't play no games with him, man. But for me to have a child living in my home at 18, talking about getting a job, you won't get a job with me. Not living in my house. That's why it's called my house. I did my job.
So hold on, you didn't want him to go out and get a job, or you didn't want him working with your company? What do you mean?
No, I didn't want him to get a job and live in my home. He could have left my home.
Oh,
then he got a job,
okay,
paid his own rent and whatnot, but not get a job and live in my home with me. No.
Okay. What's your beef with him working and living with you though? What's the beef with that? I don't get it. Maybe I'm not getting
it.
Maybe that's a cultural thing.
No, go ahead. It has nothing to do with culture. Here it is. You raised this child, right? And at 18, he is unsettled in what he want to do with himself. He didn't want to go to college because he felt he was going to get and start clowning like he said. This was a conversation he told me, which was great because I would have been 38 hard if he would have went to college and messed up my money, got in there playing around and failed out of school. So he told me that he didn't want to go to school or he was unsure of it. So I said, okay, you're going to the military, period. It wasn't no, I'm going to get a job. I don't understand how some parents raise a child and he goes out and get a job at Walmart. He don't have no experience. So he can't get a real good job, but nevertheless, he go get a job, and that's okay with the parent. I mean, the kid is 18, 19, 20, whatever. You're young. You got a lot of testosterone on you. Why are you just going to work, getting in the hustle and bustle of life, and you see what I'm going through? Go out and experience life. Go to college, go to military, do 2 years, come back home, and then you're good to go. I don't mind letting you come back for 6 months until you get yourself together, but you won't be living with me because as a parent, responsibility don't stop at 18. It keeps going, and for him to see at some point with children today, they're going to think they're equal with you, even though I'm the strict guy. Out of all of my brothers, 7 of us, I'm the most militant one. So to keep that from happening, you always keep them in a child's place. You don't do what daddy do. When you get to doing what daddy do, you're much older. Ain't no need of me having him 18, 19, he working like I'm working. Really? I mean, when you going to get your own? When you going to get out? Why even have that asinine conversation? Because you should, for me as a parent, should have 2 spots waiting on him. That's where my job ends. I'm sending you to college or I'm sending you to the military. You do your time and come back home, I help you further. Other than that, I'm cutting you off. Yeah.
Wow. Go ahead, Victor.
Man. Don't kids living with me, man. I don't know, man. You know, I'm just not made and built like that. I don't know, Garfield. It's just, I love my son. And, you know, if he's taking care of his business, you know, he's welcome to come stay here, you know, whatever, you know, Brittany. All right. But, yeah, he's welcome to come stay with me. But, I mean, the thing is, you got to be on your business, man. All that coming over here like you think I'm going to lay up in my house like you do mama house or something like that, that ain't going to happen with me. You know, I'm just not that type of person, man. You know, I said this 1,000 times, Garfield, and you know how I am by now, man. As far as the girls versus the boys, I'm a lot more lenient on the girls, but that's different. That's daddy, you know, daddy's little girls.
Right, boys.
You
got
to be hard on your son because you want your son to grow up to be hard. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not finna lean up on him, you know, like, especially if he's grown, man. You know, I still love you, but, you know, I'm not finna let you come in the house and just do what you want to do with no 18-plus years old. It ain't that type of party. You know, you ain't finna go around messing with no little hood rats and skeezers and all that, you know, coming to daddy's house. It ain't happening. You know, it's just not going down like that. So,
I hear that. I hear that.
Oh, girl.
And Victor,
yeah,
by the
my,
way, man,
Booker T.
Coleman is going to be here next week Tuesday on the show between 6:30 and 7:30 from, you know, Hidden Colors fame. But let me ask you this, Mitch.
Stop
if,
it.
If,
are you serious?
If,
are you serious? Are you just joking with me?
Huh?
I'm just playing. Are you serious? Are you joking? I'm just
what
playing.
Do you mean?
I know you're serious. Girl.
Oh, okay.
You said Booker T. Coleman's going to be here?
Yeah, next week Tuesday between 6:30 and 7:30. Yes, sir.
Oh, well,
yes,
I'm
sir.
On then. I'll be here. We'll not miss it for the world.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What do you call it? Hey, by the way, I want to ask you something about Dianetics, right? Because I'm not familiar with the whole Scientology thing. And there was a big controversy Sunday night. I wish I could have called you and had you call into the show and all this stuff. And it seems like there's a group of guys that's called Lions Out of the Cage, and they're like members of the Nation of Islam. And Brother Philip Muhammad, Brother Philip Muhammad, and somebody had to write a letter from the Amin Ra squad to Minister Farrakhan, talking about Scientology and Dianetics and so forth. And so some reason Malik Zula Shabazz got involved, and they were trying to drive a wedge between him and Farrakhan or something. I don't know what was going on, but I tuned in, and they were talking about Dianetics, and Wesley Muhammad had called in, and when he called in, he had preconditions that he wasn't going to talk about anything regarding Dianetics or Minister Farrakhan or Elijah Muhammad. He was just going to talk about how we're going to unite as a people, you know. And I don't know, it was a beautiful conversation, and, you know, it's crazy. This whole Dianetics thing seems to be a big argument in the black community, and I think you talked about it a couple of months ago, and you said it's a misunderstanding that people have, and I don't know how far the Nation of Islam goes into it, but what are your feelings about Dianetics? I've never read anything on it, never in my life. I have no idea.
What?
The Church of Scientology is what I see on TV when I see John Travolta and them. That's all I think about. I think about it as a rich people religion. That's how I thought about it. So go ahead, man. You have the floor.
Well, first off, Garfield, we have to establish what we consider good versus what we consider bad. Is it possible for white people to produce something good, or is it versus, you know, are they just, you know, producing bad stuff, you know? And I would be logical and say that, you know, white people have produced some good stuff, you know. And, you know, some of the things they say make sense, you know, as far as, you know, how they view things. I think the people that are adverse to forget Scientology, because that's a religion based on L. Ron Hubbard's book. Forget Scientology, period, you know, but let's talk about Dianetics. Dianetics, you know, on the other hand, now we're talking about Dianetics, it's basically nothing more than self-betterment. It's a book for self-betterment, you know, like millions of people all over the world who read that book have helped, it's helped them with their psychological issues, depression, mood disorders and stuff like that all over the world without any help or any association with any kind of psychological drugs whatsoever. You know, so we can sit up there and knock the thing, you know, and black people, we got the issue of anything the white man comes out with, you know, is bad. It's bad. You know, there's an agenda there. You know, it's not always like that, man. You got to separate truth from falsehood, man, when it comes to trying to discern what's right versus what's wrong. And as I've said 1,000 times when talking about Dianetics, man, I mean, there's nothing wrong with the book. I didn't see anything wrong with the book, Garfield, nothing at all when I read it. You know, I mean, to each his own. You might see something that you don't agree with in it. You know, like you say, I don't want nothing to do with it, but to each his own. But the only thing Nation of Islam and what they don't understand is under the leadership of Minister Louis Farrakhan is trying to evolve in a sense that they're trying to do everything to better themselves. And if you don't understand that, I don't know what to tell you. You know, the only thing they're trying to do is to get themselves the best possible character possible, and that's what they're doing continually. You know, and I see it day in and day out. You know, I'm not saying all of the brothers that, you know, follow Minister Louis Farrakhan are pious or they're righteous or anything like that, but they are trying. They're doing a lot more than these so-called conscious brothers out there are doing. You know, when we talk about the conscious community, you know, and we talk about the conscious community on Theology Thursday when the sister brought it up, talking about we had the big old debate about, you know, Bible and Hebrew Israelites and stuff like that. I mean, the conscious community has been wrong so many times, Garfield. I mean, I can go over several things that's been said by the conscious community that was wrong. I'm talking about blatantly, historically, imprecise, and wrong. But that's not the issue. The issue is that people are looking for nitpicky reasons to not like a certain other faction of black people. We are divided. Garfield, the white man is laughing at us right now because we use these little nitpicky reasons to sit up there and criticize each other, and then we take these things, blow these things way out of proportion. Like, we don't like the Nation of Islam because they're following the white man's religion now. No, it's not that, man. It's not that. They're taking whatever they can get to better themselves and using it, you know, to plot the character, man. That's all it is. And if you read the book by Dianetics of the Mind by L. Ron Hubbard, he talks about things called psychological aberrations in them. Aberrations occur, like, during the time of conception, the very time, moment of conception in the woman's, as a child, as a fetus in the mother's womb. It starts there. The child can hear things. He's responsive to certain things that happen, you know, and it creates certain moods and certain chemical reactions in his brain at that point in time. This man put people under hypnosis to figure this stuff out. He put people under hypnosis and a deep sense of trance. Some people go all the way back to the point of conception, and some people go back further. So you can sit up there and knock it all you want, but, I mean, the science is there, man. I mean, we can take what we get from the white man as good and use it to improve ourselves. You can talk bad about it all you want. I mean, that teach his own. Like I said, if you don't like it, cool with you. But, I mean, to me, I ain't seen nothing bad about it. You know, and like I said, you know, if you read the book, Garfield, I'm sure you're going to say, well, wow, this ain't nothing but, like, you know, it's just basically psychology. That's all it is. And I don't understand how the religion, Scientology, developed that.
I don't know.
As a result of that.
I've never read it, and I don't know. I've never read anything about Scientology or Dianetics, and I'm sure there's something positive. You know, I always hear a lot of people say that, you know, Minister Farrakhan is an agent, and he's an agent. If he's really an agent, why does he need to hook up with Dianetics? You understand the logic that I'm saying? I don't know.
Exactly.
I got to read it, and I got to look at it.
I mean, he wouldn't be trying to better us. He wouldn't be steering us in a direction where he felt that something could better us, man. They get too out there saying he's an agent. I don't know. And, you know, the brother I talked to, you know, a while back, he did bring up an excellent point now. You know, I can't lie to you when he said this, man. One of my brothers, I ain't going to mention his name, you know, but let's just say he has a master's degree. You know, and he's an older brother, like roughly around 60-plus years old. I'm not quite sure exactly what age, but he's one of my mentors.
Mm-hmm.
But he said that, you know, during the Million Man March speech, he said if the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan would have said anything worth saying, then the CIA would have put a bullet in his head right there. And I thought about what he said.
He,
I said, he does bring a
valid
point.
If he said what?
That was actually anything worth saying, as in, like, you know, something that was really, that could really move black people in towards a direction towards self-betterment, then they would have put a bullet in his head right there. That's what he said. And I was like, I had this, wow, you know, and I thought about it, you know, but then certain other things came into my mind. I said, I don't really necessarily believe that, you know. What I believe is that, you know, Minister Farrakhan, Honorable Minister Farrakhan, knows what boundaries he can cross and what boundaries he can't cross. You got to remember, he's in the devil's backyard, Garfield. He's in the devil's backyard, man. So it ain't like he can just go out there and say anything he wants to say when he wants to say it. He has to be kind of cautious and kind of approach certain issues with care because, you know, the subject matter and the stuff he's dealing with. So it's not like, you know, I don't think he's a devil or an agent at all. I think people are just misconceiving things, man. He's just, you know, you got a lot of haters, Garfield. That's all it is.
You know, when the Million Man March, right, I was actually working security with some of the NOI brothers in the 90s at this building. Right, it was like a real job for me. I treasured that job, and you know it's funny that you know you work with a bunch of NOI guys in security, and you have to go to Million Man March. So I had to go. So I took a bus. I went there, and I'm there, and I'm saying, you know, all these guys. I mean, you know, Bobby Hemmett and Phil Valentine. They all had their little crowd that they talk all this conspiracy stuff and. You know, they're like, oh, they trying to, it's a part of the conspiracy. They're trying to round black people up so they're going to kill us all off, and it's going to be a mass killing and imprisonment and
all these things that our own people were saying about this mass demonstration that was so historical. And you know how many people got scared? They're like, oh, I ain't going. They're trying to set us up. And I'm like, ain't nothing happened. What are you going to say now? Oh, they didn't feel like falling through the conspiracy again. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, it's so much like people talking stuff, man. It's like, you know, it's, I don't know. I'm a concrete evidence guy, man. If I don't read something, I don't really talk on it. But I don't know. People want you to be the way they want you to be. They don't want you to be yourself. You know, and I don't know. It's kind of weird that all of a sudden people are like, oh, Elijah Muhammad, excuse me. Elijah Muhammad wouldn't have allowed Ron Hubbard's teaching or whatever. This is not what Elijah... Like, they even care about Elijah Muhammad's teaching. That's my beef. They don't even care about Elijah Muhammad, but they want to talk about what his teaching should be. You know? Like, they're part of the organization or something.
Exactly. What does it matter to people who don't even follow his teachings? I could see if you were the bicker, because I understand the gripe coming from within. And I don't know if you know this, Garfield, but there's a faction... who belong to the teachers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad don't like Minister Farrakhan. I'm pretty sure you're aware of that.
Of course.
Right? They don't like Minister Farrakhan at all. They feel like he said so much this, that, and the other, that doesn't necessarily agree with the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Okay, I get that beef. I can understand that beef, but that's coming with inside the organization. But what's up with all these Negroes coming around here running their mouth and they ain't even part of the organization? I don't get that. You know, like, if you're not part of it, how is it affecting you? How is it hurting you? I mean, it doesn't matter to me. I mean, that's just their point. You know, what I see is black men trying to do better for themselves. That's all I see when I look at the NOI. That's it. No, nothing more, nothing less. I don't agree with the theology from an Islamic standpoint as far as, like, you know, certain points. But they're still my Muslim brothers, man. I don't care. You know, all that other stuff is, like, irrelevant to me, man. You know, we got to learn how to come together, man. Yeah, like I said, I keep stressing this, man. White people do not bicker like we do over this nonsense, man. You know, you just talking about the conspiracy theories leading up to the Million Man March. Where is the spirituality at? Where is the faith at, man? You know, I've never seen God let a faction of black people like that just die, you know, at no point in history. Never. I've never seen that happen. When we move for the right cause, God is always there, Garfield. Always. Mm-hmm. No, I don't know what's up with these Negroes. Man. I don't know.
Mm-mm-mm. I don't know. Well,
you know what, Garfield? What Victor just said was so profound, but a lot of times, I guess it's my delivery and what I'm saying, but he just said, as long as God is at the center of it, it's nothing that we can't do. And when we try to move without God, that's when we're not going to be successful. Is that a kind of like an accurate depiction, Victor?
Yeah, exactly what I'm saying, Mitch. I mean, look, when we gather together, you know, as the Bible would teach, you know, when two or more are gathered in his name, well, just picture millions of people gathered in the same cause, you know, for the higher source, the higher power. Forget what you call them. Forget if you call them Yah, Allah, Yahweh, Buddha, Elohim. I don't care about all that. That doesn't matter
right.
to me. You know what I'm saying? The point is we're gathered and we're trusting a higher power, a higher source to provide for us and to protect us. There's nobody
right.
in the world I'm scared of then. Nobody.
Okay.
I don't care what organization, what faction, the CIA, the FBI, the KKK, it don't matter. Whoever you bring up against us, they cannot stand. They cannot touch us then. But the only thing that we lack right now is that unity. It doesn't matter what you call God or, you know, how you pray to him and all that stuff. That's irrelevant right now. The point is right now our people are dying out here. And they're running this world. And this world is basically based on and predicated around white supremacy. And we have done
right.
nothing about it. And God never helps nobody until we choose to help ourselves. That's my belief. And if we choose to help ourselves, the Quran says in these words, Allah never changes the condition of a people until they change that which is in themselves. So we got to make the conscious decision to get out there and move. God ain't going to help us until we do that. We can sit up here and wait around for Judgment Day all we want to, but if we don't move, ain't nothing going to happen.
Exactly. This is what Charles said. This is what Charles said. Charles said online, there's not a single leader that we have ever united with. We have to come together consciously and let
those that are absorbed in the negativity be. They will always be there. We need to support the common goal of building our nation. It doesn't matter who is the face of it as long as it is black. You know what? As he says that, I was watching a YouTube today with one of the brothers from the Lion Out of the Cage, and he went to mosque number 15. I was talking about it at the beginning of the show. And he confronted a brother. He's a part of the Nation of Islam under Minister Farrakhan. And what happened is the minister of mosque number 15, he has his own version of the Nation of Islam. This is Brother Eric Muhammad, Minister Eric Muhammad. And Minister Eric Muhammad talks about Farrakhan like a dog constantly. And even in his book, he has a book called, a newspaper called Salam Newspaper. It's in Atlanta. So he talks about we are not Farrakhan or da-da-da-da-da, whatever. He talks about negative about Farrakhan. So the brother was saying, haven't we learned, the brother from the Nation of Islam and the Farrakhan, haven't we learned from what happened with Malcolm and Farrakhan and Elijah, where people talk bad about somebody and some zealot step in the way and kill somebody. So when you're talking bad about Farrakhan, you're probably setting up the brother to for somebody to go out there and say, hey, let me take Farrakhan out. You know, what have we learned from the past? You know, and he's trying to tell the brother that, hey, instead of you talking bad about him, why don't you build up your organization to show people, hey, this is the true way by actions, because the rhetoric is not going to do anything. All it's going to do is allow people who are Farrakhan followers to be mad with your followers, and then we both going to be beefing in the streets. And it's the truth. So all this energy they're spending on all Farrakhan this, Farrakhan that, leave him to where he is. Let him do what he's doing, but you outshine him with your works, because the works is going to speak better. You understand what I'm saying? When I come out with my e-book, people are going to say, oh, this brother is trying to do something. And I'm not charging nobody for my e-book. I'm putting my e-book to say, hey, brothers between 18 and 30, they ain't working. They ain't got no jobs. I'm giving you the opportunity. You want to start a Subways? You want to start your own little corner store? You want to do this? You want to invest in farmland? You want to do that, real estate? You're going to have all of this stuff laid out, from 1 to 100. You pick a choice. What do you want to do as a man in life? Stop sitting down and waiting for somebody to hand something out to you. Because this government, I'm telling you, I do not. One thing I got to say, Victor, that we don't stress out on this show is the dependence of government. It's really a Republican, quote-unquote, Republican conversation, but we depend on the government too much. Because when they had that the other day when they shut the government down, you know how many people who depend on a check, Victor, couldn't survive for that 2 weeks because they depended on government? That was just ridiculous.
Girl, for us to say, hey,
we depend on government so much that that 2 weeks they couldn't survive. We ain't got no check, no rent can't pay, no bills can't pay. We can't buy no groceries. That's what we need to really push. Independence. This government ain't gonna let us go. This pharaoh ain't gonna let us go. He ain't gonna let us go.
He ain't
never gonna let us go. He gonna say, hey, we got some more government cheese and more checks, and they always want you to be dependent on them. Because black people don't know or understand how to be self-sufficient anymore. Give me the black people from the 50s, 1950 black people. Give me them. I'll take them every day. 1920s black people.
For real.
They were more united than we are today. We had our own hotels, our own farmland. We did for ourselves. We understand we had a plight. But the minute we started integrating with these people, we forgot who we were. And that's what happened right now. And we don't want to let go. It's like somebody gave you a lollipop and said, hey, you could borrow my lollipop, but you could have the lollipop, and then they say, oh, I want it back. How does that feel? This is the white man right now. He gave you integration and said, here, we're going to help you with this, and that's all we're going to do. 1% of the budget. It don't cost America nothing to take care of black America. Nothing. But the minute they stop that check, you can't live. It's a goddamn shame. It's a goddamn shame. We don't stress enough about doing for ourselves on this show. And I'm telling you, man, once I come out with the e-book and once we get our little investment club going, we are going to show people what we are doing. And by the way, I got to give a shout out to a sister that runs Black Brilliance, the group. She's trying to raise $500 with 5,000 people in her group. I'm like, what? Girl, if everybody gave a dollar, that's $5,000. She's giving it to black kids. She's going to help buy kids books to go back to school in September. So from June 1st to August 1st, she's trying to collect,
wow,
trying to raise $500. I'm like, 5,000 people giving $500 alone? 5,000 people? Come on, man. If everybody in the group gave a dollar, that's $5,000. So, sister, I support you, what you're doing. Matter of fact, let me go on Facebook right now and get the proper name. So if anybody want to donate to the sisters, she just trying to raise $500. That's all. That's it. That's it. $500. That's it. I'm telling you.
Somebody from
that's
the so-called conscious community need to step up and just go on and throw it at.
You know,
that's,
I mean,
crazy.
At the end of the day, you know, she she's basically just giving $500 or whatever. But I mean, I'm gonna support it. I'm gonna give my as a matter of fact, I'm gonna do it right now or in the morning. I'm gonna take care of that, you know. But at the end of the day, man, it's it's not that much money, but at least she's trying to get folks to do something, which is good. You know what I'm saying? The name of the group on Facebook is Black Brilliance, and it's called the First Black Brilliance Fundraiser. And it's donating money to fund school supplies for black children for the upcoming school year. Donations will be made through PayPal. At the end of every week, she's going to, let me see what she says. We hope to make our goal of $500 for the group by August. I don't know why they say $500, but you know what? Maybe that's a good thing that she put $500, because everybody going to be like, $500? Oh, I give money quick. So it might be much, much more than $500 by the end of August 1st. So, you know, I just hope that she collects a lot more and they give a lot more. But I don't know what I'm going to give, but I'm going to give something tonight, you know, because I already have my PayPal account set up. But the name of the group is Black Brilliance, and if you want to donate funds, ladies and gentlemen who are listening, blackbrilliance.united@gmail.com. That's blackbrilliance.united@gmail.com. All right? And we're going to take care of it from there. All right. So moving on, we have like 20 minutes left in the show. Let's, Charles, let's go to, go to Black Brilliance. It's called Black Brilliance, the name of the group. And, I mean, if I give $50, $10, you know, man, I'll probably just give $10, you know, because I know they're going to have $500 in, like, 2 days. They probably have that amount already anyway, you know. But it's something good and positive, and anybody, I mean, we
have
Omar Johnson. Yeah, go ahead, talk. He'll hear you.
Now, I was going to say, yo, Charles, man, I'm still finna work on the project. I just got my tablet, you know, like, I got like a number of them, so anybody want to buy one on here, you know, anything like that, I got them for sale, but throw that out there. But anyway, I just got my tablet, you know, via, you know, huh?
What gig?
What'd you say?
What
gig?
I'm
going
to
give you a megabyte.
She knows all the details on it. I don't.
All right, so
really
what do you say? What type of tablets?
You know,
what type of tablets
stuff,
are
man.
They? What type of it's tablets
iRulu.
Are they?
It's an iRulu.
iRulu.
It's a little 7-inch tablet. Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's like the Nook or the Kindle or something.
Yeah. They
sure
like, run like $99 or something like that. You know, if you get them on eBay.
You sure you don't want to put Britney? You sure you don't
like
want to put Britney
like that,
on
you know,
so Britney could explain it? You sure you don't want to put Britney on so she could explain it, sir?
Right at this second.
All
right. Yeah, she's not here right this second. She'll be here in like probably like 10 minutes or so, I hope. But
all right, cool.
Yeah.
All right.
But,
so you have
yeah, they got
them
out there. But I'm working on that right now to try
to structure
the thing that we were talking about.
Okay. Are you selling them for $99?
No, she's selling them cheaper. I'm not sure what her price is, but she's selling them cheaper than that. They're like $130 something. But you can get them for $99 on eBay. You know, if you catch somebody, you know, at the right price, the right time,
right,
you know,
right,
something
right,
like that.
Right,
they
right.
auction them off all the time, but it, you know, I let her set up her, because I don't want to sit up there and put no, you know, fake price on her stuff, you know, because I don't know, you know, it was her little investment when she put into that,
her little
you know,
thing.
To get that. Oh,
okay,
you know, all right,
no problem. No problem, no problem.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely I'll support. I mean, I'll support. Not a problem, bro. I definitely support. Does she have PayPal? Did they pay me by PayPal?
But like I was saying, I was just...
She would...
Say what?
No, I was saying, how she takes the payment? Through PayPal? Does she take the payment through PayPal or what?
PayPal,
or does she
yeah.
take the payment?
Through PayPal.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right,
PayPal.
No problem. So we good. We good. I'll support it. Not a problem.
You'll see them on. She'll probably post them on her Facebook page. I don't know if you does she have you on her friends list right now? Because she'll probably post them on Facebook.
No, I can't be her friend unless I ask you to be her friend. I can't be your friend unless you tell me I could be your friend, my brother.
Come on, man. You already know, man. You already know that. You know, I don't got no insecurity about you. You know, not like that. You know.
All right, there you go. There
but
you
anyway,
go.
Yeah.
Right.
But like I was saying to Charles, though, man, I'm still typing out the thing we talked about. You know, as far as the plan goes, though, Garfield. You know, that's what I was saying, though. You know, the Garfield. You know, I had to get the tablet so I could do that because we only have one computer really to operate on. You know, in the household right now because the other one broke. So I'm using the tablet to, you know, type up everything right now. I'm going to give me a little adapter, the keyboard, and go ahead and start typing soon.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. This is what we're going to do, ladies and gentlemen. So I know you and Charles got to work on that thing. So you guys didn't hook up on the phone yet or anything, right?
No, not yet. You know, he hit me with a friend request on Facebook and stuff, so, you know, we'll take care of all the rest of the stuff as we go on. You know, all
right, just whenever you guys need to three-way me, I'm
like
always
that.
Available. I'm always available, as stupid as I am. I'm always
cool.
Available, you know. And we need to definitely, with the investment thing, I'm ready, man. By the end of June, because I'm actually going to try to do some investing with Sister Azalea as far as her products. So if anybody want to invest in that, you know, I know Mitch and Ivory trying to do something. I mean, if you guys want to come along with this, that would be good because she has a bunch of products she's trying to put out, you know. So maybe you guys could just be a part of, what do you call it? Charles want me to give you his number, Victor. I mean, I'll give Victor Charles' number. All right, no problem.
Inbox it to me, so don't say it on the phone or whatever, because I know he might have 3,000 people trying to contact him or something like that.
Ain't nobody trying to hit up Charles. Nobody likes his ass anyway. Oh, boy. Charles is a troublemaker, man. You don't know Charles. He's just like me. Shoot, he's a troublemaker. I lost my train of thought. Oh, I was saying about Sister Azalea having a couple of products that she's trying to come out with also. And I hate to see people coming out with stuff and we don't make the money. You know what I'm saying? So if we know people who do marketing strategy, like tomorrow we're going to talk to Mario and them and the brother from what's his name again? What's the brother's name that come on Wednesdays, Victor? The one that was talking last week. Not the brother Moore from New Jersey. Not the one that's doing the school stuff. The one that used to be on Wall Street
from
and
Atlanta.
All that stuff. Right. What's his name? Mr. Mansfield. Mansfield. I'm talking about him. Not Mario or the other brother. I'm talking about Mr. Mansfield. So, I mean, you know, as far as marketing and putting out products and all that stuff, I'm telling you, you guys, we have to use these people that come on, man. There's nobody. If you can't be used, you're useless. I don't remember how the term goes, but if you can't be used, you have no use. You're useless. So when somebody say, "Oh, you're just using me for that," you don't have a purpose in life if you can't be used. You have to have something that people will attract people or do something. So these guys that come on, we have to use their knowledge and their information because remember, we're broadcasting and they're talking for free. They're not charging me to be on, and I'm not paying them to be here. These are guys who are in Wall Street, and you know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, we have to use the information that they give us. All that real estate stuff, as a matter of fact, I'm going to listen to the show tonight. I have to listen to that show because that brother dropped so much wisdom about buying
about
real estate. That was invaluable. That was invaluable about the REO and all that stuff. I have to go back and listen to it, man. And as a matter of fact, that show last week is the most listened show we've had on this show. People are still listening to it. I went and looked at the stats today. Way over 800 people listen to that show. That's the most listened show since I've been on the air.
What day was that?
And people are still listening to it. Last week, Wednesday. That was
Wednesday.
That was last Wednesday, which was the 26th. It have to be the 27th. Because it's 31 days in May, so it probably was the 27th. That's the most listened show.
Is that that's the guy number I'm looking for?
No, that's not the same. Well, I gave you brother Yona L's number that he gave me. He sent me his number, so I gave you his contact information because he knows a lot of houses out there in the Atlanta area too for cheap. All the money, $100,000 too.
Every yeah, house, Yona L. Yeah, I need to get his number. Send me his number too, Victor. I need to call him too because we need to just talk about it and just do what we need to do. You know what I'm saying? And if
Victor,
it means investing a certain amount.
Facebook.
I was asking Victor where did
Facebook.
He send
when you hit me with a message.
Yeah. Oh, you did put it on Facebook?
You said what?
You
said
yeah,
a message
on Facebook.
I put it in. Yeah, it's in a message. I might have to resend. I don't know if it went through to you because I can go check real quick. But I know I sent it to you in a message in Facebook. You know, I remember I did that because my wife told me it was in a computer. I didn't even know it was in a computer. She had it saved somewhere, and she was actually the one who typed it down. As soon as Yona L actually said it, she was over there typing. My wife would be on it. She'd be on it, man.
Yeah.
She's not playing. When it's talking about anything talking about money, Brittany's moving 150 miles an hour with her old self. You know,
as a matter of fact, remind me tomorrow.
She don't play, man.
We got to talk to Mario too because he's doing some big investing right now that I don't want to miss out on. He asked me. I think they're trying to put a crew together, and they're doing like some old. I don't remember what type of buildings they are. Some old buildings that they're gonna. You know, it's gonna be a good investment. So he's gonna be on tomorrow. And
is Mario located in Atlanta area, Garfield?
Yes, he's in Atlanta too. He got a lot of connection too. So they all hooked up together. I mean, we on the phone all day every day. And if I have somebody in Texas too. I have a brother in Texas that I deal with. He does the same thing that Mario does. He's in Texas also. You know, he's back and forth between Atlanta and Texas. But I mean, we all connected because at the end of the day, I have to deal with funding every day. That's what I do all day every day. I get people funded, so I have to deal with them because they are my sources for the funding. So I have to, when I send files, I get the files prepared. You know, when people are like 750, 800 score and they got to get funding, I have to send it to either one of them. So they're the ones that are my sources for the funding, you know. So, you know, we on the phone all day talking about who got approved for 100 grand or who get this. So enough of that nonsense. I'm tired of getting people funding. So I'm tired of, I need to do what I need to do, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we need to do though, Garfield. We got a little money to invest, man. You know, whatever we can start things. The real estate board is like a spring platform for the stuff we was talking about, starting the schools and stuff. Charles wants to do. I mean, that's like the platform right there for us to jump off of right there, man. We put a little money into real estate. It's going to be a quick turnaround, and you know, turn around. We invest in some land, and then we start producing stuff, man. You know, we got to stop being consumers
exactly.
and being producers, man. That's if you watch Kid Keller, that's what the brother. I think it was Booker T. Coleman. Was elaborating on. We got to stop being consumers and start producing, man. We got to support each other too, in this thing, man. So you know, Nation of Islam is doing it out there, man. You know, they bought up all that farmland in Georgia, man. Dude, we can do the same thing, man. We can do the same thing. It ain't nothing stopping us, but us. That's it.
Yeah, for real. And
for
you know what? The best thing to have your own, man. You have your own property where your kids could run up and down in the backyard, and it's cheap. You're paying rent right now, and that rent could pay a mortgage in Atlanta. It's just ridiculous right now. It's
exactly.
ridiculous all over this country. Ridiculous, you know. But in New York, the houses here, oh my God, ridiculous. I mean, where I live right now, it's called a cooperative apartment where you pay like 20 grand. And you pretty much own the cooperative apartment, but you pay a maintenance for it. When you pay the maintenance, you don't pay Con Ed and water and all that crap. So you basically just pay for your phone bill, and that's it. But when you're leaving, you get back your 20 grand. You get your 20 grand when you're leaving. So it's wonderful. You know, it's wonderful here. But at the end of the day, I don't want to stay in New York. I do not want to stay in New York. It's like having your own condo or whatever, because this is... You know, where I am, this is where it's going to be forever, if I want it to be. But at the end of the day, if I want to leave, they'll give you back your 20 grand and you go buy your own house or whatever. You know, but here it's nice. It's nice. It's pretty nice.
It just sucks the taxes you have to pay to live there.
Yeah, taxes are just, oh my God, ridiculous. But, ladies and gentlemen, listen, man, we have 9 minutes left in the show. And we're talking about real estate, we're talking about investing, and we're talking about building our resources, pulling our resources together. That's going to be tomorrow. I'm telling you, man, that show last Wednesday, I got to go listen to that tonight, man. I put my headphones on, listen to that like from 10 to 12 tonight, you know, get it going, you know. But that's definitely what's going on. And, you know, so you guys have anything else to say about today's show or tomorrow? Or looking forward to our Charles, you have any questions you want us to respond to? Go ahead, Mitch. Any last words?
No. It was a great show as always, man. I'm good. I appreciate it.
Oh, let me give a special big ups to Queen Empress from England. I called into her show today. She had this wonderful sister from Toronto, Canada on. They were talking about relationships, and I want to invite that sister on Friday, man. I'm going to hit her up. I hit her up on Facebook.
Send me the link to her show, too, Garford. I'll stop by once a week.
Yeah, man. Yeah, definitely, man, because she supports us all the time, you know. So I think she's on Tuesdays and Thursdays, so she comes on an hour before me. So I was in the chat room, and I called in, and you know what I'm saying? So it was a nice show. She got a little nice little show going there. You know, she's doing her thing with her, you know, because, you know, we love the accent already, Victor. The accent is a killer. That's a killer right there, man. That's a killer. But
my wife hates those kind of accents. I like them, though. I like them. I like the people with them English accents. It's funny to me. I like that.
What happened? Brittany don't like the English accent? She don't like that?
No, she don't like them saying bloody wanker and stuff like that. You know, she just gets all like, that's so boring. It's so boring. Like... Like, shut up. She was the main one talking, and she wasn't talking about going over there and live, you know, like us moving overseas over there somewhere like that. I'm like, you're going to have to put up with that every day if we go over there. What you talking about? Thank God.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. What else is going on in your front?
Right. We need to get on it, though, Garfield.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Go ahead, Mitch.
Garfield, I just wanted to say, I got my Omega 8006 today. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's the only popping, baby. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
So what is that for again? What is that for?
Oh, that's just the juicing machine that juiced the wheatgrass.
Oh, and how much was it?
It cost me, I bought mine through Amazon and eBay. And, well, I shop with eBay and Amazon. I really do Amazon for major purchases because they, like, guarantee everything. But it cost me $240-some. Yep. $240. We're shipping
and everything.
Charles,
you can't, like Charles said you can't juice my. Charles said you can't juice marijuana, B.
No, I tell him I'm going to leave it or not.
That's a lie. That's a lie, Charles. We could you could juice marijuana, man. You'd be surprised, bro. You'd be surprised.
Yeah.
The things people can do with marijuana. Yeah. You would be surprised.
So, yeah, I got that. So I'm ready to go. I'm just like, you know, a pint of wheatgrass a day. I've got my trays on order already. I bought that from Sprout Man Wheatgrass Grower. And they're the type of trays you pay like $120 for them, and it's three trays. And the deal with that is you don't need no soil. You just, they say you the trays, they get you the little flats, you get your seeds, they show you on a video on YouTube, Sprout Man Grower, and that's it. You can just put it in the house, give it a little bit of sun, and your wheat grass popping up in the crib. You ain't got to do all that digging in the dirt. So I got to get that, once I get that growing, down to a pint a day, yeah. Yep.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. You gotta get on board, Garfield.
Wow.
Yep. You got to get you one of these machines, because, boy.
She told me to go to Bed Bath & Beyond. They have it there. So, I mean, she says it's like $99 in Bed Bath & Beyond. So I'm going to go check
it
out when I go to the gym Friday.
Don't do it.
Huh?
I will send you... I got the hand-turning one that they sell at Bed Bath & Beyond. Don't buy it. I got it sitting here on my table right now. It ain't worth it because it doesn't ring out all of the juices inside the wheatgrass. I only paid, I bought it on eBay
for $25. Say that again. You're saying that the one at Bed Bath & Beyond is what?
I bought one off of eBay, the same one she's speaking of. It's a hand cranking one. The problem with that is you got to put massive amount of wheatgrass in it just to get, you know, 3 or 4 ounces that you're looking for or more. Plus, it doesn't wring out the wheatgrass like the machine does. That's why I just said, forget it. I'm just going to fuck up the money and buy the quality I'm looking for to get all the juices out of the wheatgrass.
So hold up. You trying to let me spend more than $100 on this thing, man? Why are you disappointing me today?
No,
but I'm glad you told me anyway.
See, this is another thing about this machine.
I got Charles on the phone, by the way. Charles, what's up, man?
Hey, he's telling you right. He got the best one.
Yeah,
all he got the best one?
Because of the process. It holds all the enzymes and the juice, and it gets the most extract out of the wheatgrass. It's telling you right.
Because it grinds it up slower. It's not real fast,
yeah,
like a blender. The slower process.
Text me the name of it.
Okay.
And Mitch, you got my number. Text me, Mitch.
Yeah.
Both of y'all text me. Text me, man, and we get that out of the way. But Charles, with the school
Mitch.
Thing, what is your biggest hindrance with the school thing?
Oh, right now? Right now, it's just getting drawn up the plan and everything.
Okay.
You know, I had LLC before. And then when I stepped into the nonprofit arena, I realized it's a little different. You know, everything is done through an organization and it's controlled. Like with the LLC, you can set it up, with the individual or a couple of heads. But with a nonprofit, you got to have everything. You got to draw up a constitution and everything. It has to be part of the bylaws. Everybody talk about that stuff, but it has to be part of the organization. And it has to be all laid out because anytime you get ready to start getting funding and things like that, not only that, the people that you're going to have involved with this nonprofit, they got to be sustainable. So nobody's going to really support your or back you if they see that you cannot run or operate the organization with your board. You know, so when you set it up, it has to be set up so that the board members can basically function without the support of funding, you know. So that was one thing I wasn't even aware of that when I first threw that idea out there about doing a nonprofit at all. You know, I was just looking at running like a business, a regular business for profit, and it's just totally different.
So which one do you want to do? You want to do it as a nonprofit or you want to do it as a for-profit?
So that's for the school situation, but you know, that's why I want to talk to you, but it's a little different. With the school, I want to go nonprofit. You know what I mean? I want to make it available to, and I already got some people supporting the idea, but putting it on paper as an to structure it, like for the business plan and things like that, write out the constitution out, it's a little bit challenging because it's the other thing I want to be able to set it up so. So it'll be all ran and not just today, but in the future by Africans in America, for Africans in America, specifically for that. And I'm not prejudiced or anything like that, but, you know, that's just the mission, you know.
Right.
So it's not that easy when you start. I want everybody to support it, you know what I mean? I want it to be open to the world, you know what I mean? I want to be a beacon to the world, but at the same time, I only want it to be controlled by Africans. America. That's why I want to try to get with Brother Kaba, get some direction for him to help write the curriculum. I got my auntie, she's a history teacher, things like that. You know, I got a cousin of mine, he already homeschools his grandkids and stuff like that. But writing the plan, the business plan, so they can be, untouchable. Not just for today, but even in the future. That's the challenge that I'm seeing right now. But I'm putting it together, and then eventually I'm gonna have to sit down and get with an attorney to review it and everything. And then
brother,
just take off and go from
brother
there.
Brother Moore, that was on. He's trying to start his own school too. So he was on last Wednesday. So
I mean, I'm in contact with all these guys, man. They all want to be on the radio show, and they all want to blow it up to a whole nother level. They all want me to cancel Theology Thursdays. They don't want me to keep that show no more.
Oh, man. You might have to move that to Sunday.
Yeah, brother, I don't know, brother. Forget about it, man, because it's kind of divisive in a way, and I'm not that way by nature, but you know what? Black folks, we love competition, you know, so, you know, but, I mean, I don't know. If people want to come and discuss stuff, they can come and discuss stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Because
I'm more mellow. I'm more mellow than on Facebook. On Facebook, I curse people out. I say, get the F out of here and all this crap, and get out of here. You can't even produce ham for me or nothing. You know, I'd be cursing people out. But this is why Tierra, when she came on, the way she came on, because she knows me from Facebook. So when she came at me Thursday, Victor, the way she came at me, that's based off of me and her on Facebook battling. So that's why I had to come back at her strong like that, because I had to let them know, hey, you know, on Facebook, I'm not the same guy here. I'm more mellow, but you're trying to pull something out of me that I don't even want to go there, you know? But anyway, what do you call it? Let me. I'm going to end the show here, and then tomorrow we'll pick it up. But tomorrow, Victor, just remind me, tomorrow when these guys are on, we got to really get deep into this real estate thing, man. Real estate and the school. Those two things are the most important things to me right now. All right?
Hey, Charles, hold on.
Right, right, yeah, we got to do that, definitely.
Yes, sir. You was the one to ask me something.
Hello?
Yeah.
No. Hey, Mitch, I was just messing with you about the marijuana, man.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
in the juicer.
Yeah, okay. I got you.
All right, guys. So anyway, thank you guys for joining in and all the folks listening in. We appreciate it. We'll be back tomorrow with Wednesdays, where we talk about pooling our resources and investing and credit repair and credit and all this crazy stuff. All right, everybody, have a beautiful evening. One love, and see you tomorrow. Peace.
Yeah, much love, baby. One
love.